Chapter 16. Memorial Spoon is holy and is eagerly and passionately and gratefully bought by the disciple, and becomes a fetish in his house. I say bought, for the Boston Christian Science Trust gives nothing away, everything it has for sale. And the terms are cash, and not cash only, but cash in advance. It's God as Mrs. Eddy first, then the dollar. Not a spiritual dollar, but a real one. From end to end of the Christian Science literature, not a single material thing in the world is conceded to be real, except the dollar. But all through and through its advertisements, that reality is eagerly and persistently recognized. The hunger of the trust for the dollar, its adoration of the dollar, its lust after the dollar, its ecstasy in the mere thought of the dollar, there has been nothing like it in the world in any age or country, nothing so coarse, nothing so lubricous, nothing so bestial, except a French novel's attitude towards adultery. The dollar is hunted down in all sorts of ways. The Christian Science Mother Church and Bargain Counter in Boston peddles all kinds of spiritual wares to the faithful, always at extravagant prices, and always on the one condition, cash, cash in advance. The angel of the apocalypse could not go there and get a copy of his own pirated book on credit. Many, many precious Christian Science things are to be had there for cash. Bible lessons, church manual, C.S.S. hymnal, history of the building of the Mother Church, lot of sermons, communion hymn, Saw Ye My Savior, apostrophe by Mrs. Eddy, half a dollar a copy, words used by special permission of Mrs. Eddy. Apostrophe also we have Mrs. Eddy's, and the angel's little Bible annex in 8 styles of binding at 8 kinds of war prices. Among these a sweet thing in leavened, divinity circuit, leather lined to edge, round corners, gold edge, silk sewed, each, prepaid, $6, apostrophe and if you take a million you get them a shilling cheaper, that is to say, prepaid, $5, $7.75. Apostrophe also we have Mrs. Eddy's miscellaneous writings, apostrophe at noble big prices, the divinity circuit style heading the extortions, shilling discount where you take an addition. Next comes Christ and Christmas, apostrophe by the fertile Mrs. Eddy, a poem I would God I could see it, price $3, cash in advance. Then follow 5 more books by Mrs. Eddy at highwayman's rates, as usual, some of them in leatherette covers, apostrophe some of them in pebbled cloth, with divinity circuit, compensation balance, twin screw, and the other modern improvements. And at the same bargain counter can be, at the Christian Science Journal. Apostrophe, I wish it were in refined taste to apply a rudely and ruggedly descriptive epithet to that literary slush bucket, so as to give one an accurate idea of what it is like. I am moved to do it, but I must not. It is better to be refined than accurate when one is talking about a production like that. Christian Science Literary Liam Margarin is a monopoly of the Mother Church headquarters factory in Boston. None genuine without the trademark of the trust. You must apply there, and not elsewhere, and you pay your money before you get your soap fat. The trust has still other sources of income. Mrs. Eddy is president, and perhaps proprietor, of the trust's metaphysical college in Boston, where the student who has practiced C.S.S. healing during 3 years the best he knew how perfects himself in the game by a 2 weeks course, and pays $100 for it. And I have a case among my statistics, where the student had a 3 weeks course, and paid $300 for it. The trust does love the dollar, when it isn't a spiritual one. In order to force the sale of Mrs. Eddy's Bible Annex, no healer, metaphysical college bred or other, is allowed to practice the game, unless he possess a copy of that holy nightmare. That means a large, and constantly augmenting income for the trust. No C.S. family would consider itself loyal or pious, or pain-proof without an annex or two in the house. That means an income for the trust in the near future of millions. Not thousands, millions a year. No member, young or old, of a Christian Scientist church can retain that membership unless he pay capitation tax to the Boston Trust every year. That means an income for the trust in the near future of millions more per year. It is a reasonably safe guess that in America in 1910 there will be 10,000,000 Christian Scientists, and 3,000,000 in Great Britain, that these figures will be tripled by 1920, that in America in 1910 the Christian Scientists will be a political force, in 1920 politically formidable to remain that, permanently. And I think it a reasonable guess that the trust, which is already in our day pretty brusque in its ways, will then be the most insolent and unscrupulous and tyrannical politico-religious master that has dominated a people since the palmy days of the Inquisition. And a stronger master than the strongest of bygone times, because this one will have a financial strength not dreamed of by any predecessor, as effective a concentration of irresponsible power as any predecessor had. In the railway, the telegraph, and the subsidized newspaper, better facilities for watching and managing his empire than any predecessor has had. And after a generation or two he will probably divide Christendom with the Catholic Church. The Roman Church has a perfect organization, and it has an effective centralization of power but not of its cash. Its multitude of bishops are rich, but their riches remain in large measure in their own hands. They collect from 200,000,000 of people, but they keep the bulk of the result at home. The Boston Pope of by and by will draw his dollar a head capitation tax from 300,000,000 of the human race, and the annex and the rest of his bookshop will fetch in double as much more, and his metaphysical colleges, the annual pilgrimage to Mrs. Eddy's tomb, from all over the world admission, the Christian Science dollar payable in advance, purchases of consecrated glass beads, candles, memorial spoons, oriel chromo portraits and bogus autographs of Mrs. Eddy, cash offerings at her shrine, no crutches of cured cripples received, and no imitations of miraculously restored broken legs and necks allowed to be hung up except when made out of the holy metal and proved by fire assay, cash for miracles worked at the tomb. These money sources, with 1,000 to be yet invented and ambushed upon the devotee, will bring the annual interment well up above $1 billion. And nobody but the trust will have the handling of it. No bishops appointed, unless they agree to hand in 90% of the catch. And that day the trust will monopolize the manufacture and sale of the Old and New Testaments as well as the annex, and raise their price to annex rates, and compel the devotee to buy for even today a healer as to have the annex and the scriptures, or he is not allowed to work the game, and that will bring several $100 million more. In those days the trust will have an income approaching $5,000,000 a day, and no expenses to be taken out of it, no taxes to pay, and no charities to support. That last detail should not be lightly passed over by the read. It is well entitled to attention. No charities to support. No, nor even to contribute to. One searches in vain the trust's advertisements and the utterances of its pulpit for any suggestion that it spends a penny on orphans, widows, discharged prisoners, hospitals, ragged schools, night missions, city missions, foreign missions, libraries, old people's homes, or any other object that appeals to a human being's purse through his heart. 2. I have hunted, by correspondence and otherwise, and have not yet got upon the track of a farthing that the trust has spent upon any worthy object. Nothing makes a scientist so uncomfortable as to ask him if he knows of a case where Christian Science has spent money on a benevolence, either among its own adherents or elsewhere. He is obliged to say no. And then one discovers that the person questioned has been asked the question many times before, and that it is getting to be a sore subject with him. Why a sore subject? Because he has written his chiefs, and asked with high confidence for an answer that will confound these questioners, and the chiefs did not reply. He has written again and then again, not with confidence, but humbly now, and has begged for defensive ammunition in the voice of supplication. A reply does at last come to this effect. We must have faith in our mother, and rest content in the conviction that whatever she, 3, does with the money it is in accordance with orders from heaven, for she does no act of any kind without first demonstrating over it. That settles it as far as the disciple is concerned. His mind is entirely satisfied with that answer. He gets down his annex, and does an incantation or two, and that mesmerizes his spirit and puts that to sleep, brings it peace. Peace and comfort and joy, until some inquirer punctures the old sore again. Through friends in America I asked some questions, and in some cases got definite and informing answers. In other cases the answers were not definite and not valuable. From the definite answers I gather that the capitation tax is compulsory, and that the sum is $1. To the question, does any of the money go to charities? The answer from an authoritative source was, no, not in the sense usually conveyed by this word. The italics are mine. That answer is cautious. But definite, I think utterly and unassailably definite, although quite Christian scientifically foggy in its phrasing. Christian science is generally foggy, generally diffuse, generally garrulous. The writer was aware that the first word in his phrase answered the question which I was asking, but he could not help adding 9 dark words. Meaningless ones, unless explained by him. It is quite likely as intimated by him that Christian science has invented a new class of objects to apply the word charity to, but without an explanation we cannot know what they are. We quite easily and naturally and confidently guess that they are in all cases objects which will return 500% on the trust's investment in them, but guessing is not knowledge. It is merely, in this case, a sort of 9/10 certainty deducible from what we think we know of the trust's trade principles, and its sly and furtive and shifty ways. Sly? Deep? Judicious? The trust understands business. The trust does not give itself away. It defeats all the attempts of us impertinents to get at its trade secrets. To this day, after all our diligence, we have not been able to get it to confess what it does with the money. It does not even let its own disciples find out. All it says is that the matter has been demonstrated over. Now, and then a lay scientist says, with a grateful exultation, that Mrs. Eddy is enormously rich, but he stops there. As to whether any of the money goes to other charities or not, he is obliged to admit that he does not know. However, the trust is composed of human beings, and this justifies the conjecture that if it had a charity on its list which it did not need to blush for, we should soon hear of it. Without money and without price. Those used to be the terms. Mrs. Eddy's annex cancels them. The motto of Christian science is the laborer is worthy of his hire. And now that it has been demonstrated over, we find its spiritual meaning to be, do anything and everything your hand may find to do, and charge cash for it, and collect the money in advance. The scientist has on his tongue's end a cut and dried, Boston supplied set of rather lean arguments whose function is to show that it is a heaven-commanded duty to do this, and that the croupiers of the game have no choice but to obey. The trust seems to be a reincarnation. Exodus 4. I have no reverence for Mrs. Eddy and the rest of the trust if there is a rest, but I am not lacking in reverence for the sincerities of the lay membership of the new church. There is every evidence that the lay members are entirely sincere in their faith, and I think sincerity is always entitled to honor and respect, let the inspiration of the sincerity be what it may. Zeal and sincerity can carry a new religion further than any other missionary except fire and sword, and I believe that the new religion will conquer the half of Christendom in 100 years. I am not intending this as a compliment to the human race, I am merely stating an opinion. And yet I think that perhaps it is a compliment to the race. I keep in mind that saying of an Orthodox preacher quoted further back. He conceded that this new Christianity frees its possessor's life from frets, fears, vexations, bitterness, and all sorts of imagination-propagated maladies and pains, and fills his world with sunshine and his heart with gladness. If Christian Science, with this stupendous equipment and final salvation added, cannot win half the Christian globe, I must be badly mistaken in the makeup of the human race. I think the trust will be handed down like the other papacy, and will always know how to handle its limitless cash. It will press the button, the zeal, the energy, the sincerity, the enthusiasm of its countless vassals, will do the rest. X, the power which a man's imagination has over his body to heal it, or make it sick, is a force which none of us is born without. The first man had it, the last one will possess it. If left to himself, a man is most likely to use only the mischievous half of the force, the half which invents imaginary ailments for him and cultivates them. And if he is one of these very wise people, he is quite likely to scoff at the beneficent half of the force and deny its existence. And so, to heal or help that man, two imaginations are required. His own and some outsider's. The outsider, B, must imagine that his incantations are the healing power that is curing A, and A must imagine that this is so. It is not so, at all, but no matter, the cure is effected, and that is the main thing. The outsider's work is unquestionably valuable, so valuable that it may fairly be likened to the essential work performed by the engineer when he handles the throttle and turns on the steam. The actual power is lodged exclusively in the engine, but if the engine were left alone, it would never start of itself. Whether the engineer be named Jim, or Bob, or Tom, it is all one, his services are necessary, and he is entitled to such wage as he can get you to pay. Whether he be named Christian Scientist, or Mental Scientist, or Mind Curist, or Lord's Miracle-Worker, or King's Evil Expert, it is all one. He is merely the engineer, he simply turns on the same old steam, and the engine does the whole work. In the case of the cure engine, it is a distinct advantage to clothe the engineer in religious overalls and give him a pious name. It greatly enlarges the business and does no one any harm. The Christian Scientist engineer drives exactly the same trade as the other engineers, yet he outprospers the whole of them put together. Is it because he has captured the Tachyngist name? I think that that is only a small part of it. I think that the secret of his high prosperity lies elsewhere. The Christian Scientist has organized the business. Now that was certainly a gigantic idea. There is more intellect in it than would be needed in the invention of a couple of millions of Eddy Science and Dash Health Bible annexes. Electricity, in limitless volume, has existed in the air and the rocks and the earth, and everywhere since time began, and was going to waste all the while. In our time we have organized that scattered and wandering force, and set it to work, and backed the business with capital, and concentrated it in few and competent hands, and the results are as we see. The Christian Scientist has taken a force which has been lying idle in every member of the human race since time began, and has organized it, and backed the business with capital, and concentrated it at Boston headquarters in the hands of a small, and very competent trust, and there are results. Therein lies the promise that this monopoly is going to extend its commerce wide in the earth. I think that, if the business were conducted in the loose and disconnected fashion customary with such things, it would achieve but little more than the modest prosperity usually secured by unorganized great moral and commercial ventures. but I believe that so long as this one remains compactly organized and closely concentrated in a trust, the spread of its dominion will continue. Vienna, May 1, 1899. 1. After raising a dead child to life, the disciple who did it writes an account of her performance to Mrs. Eddy, and closes it thus: "My prayer daily is to be more spiritual, that I may do more as you would have me do. And may we all love you more, and so live it, that the world may know that the Christ is come." Printed in the Concord, N.H., Independent Statesman, March 9, 1899. If this is no worship, it is a good imitation of it. 2. In the past 2 years the membership of the Established Church of England have given voluntary contributions amounting to $73,000,000 to the Church's benevolent enterprises. Churches that give have nothing to hide. 3. I may be introducing the capital S a little early, still it is on its way. Is he living, or is he dead? I was spending the month of March 1892 at Menton, in the Riviera, at Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.